This is Glenn Houser with World of Radio, 1386. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all shortwave broadcasting. On this edition, recorded December 11th, shortwave radar, YFR provokes pirate parodies, music from Cuba and Tajikistan, Albania may close shortwave, some intriguing unidentifieds, more Ethiopian jamming, more clandestines for North Korea, and the propagation outlook. Standard disclaimer. Last week we were running out of time as I was about to get to the topic of Digital Radio Mundial being authorized for the tropical bands, so let's begin with a bit more about that. A press release from the DRM organization says at the last World Radio Communication Conference of the ITU in Geneva, the DRM system was officially approved between 3,200 and 5,900 kilohertz for domestic coverage in the tropical zone countries. This major regulatory achievement opens up a huge market for the benefit of citizens from this part of the world. The consortium is very pleased with the outcome, and the recognition of the DRM system is now totally worldwide for all applications, for all bands below 30 megahertz, long wave, medium wave, and short wave, says Dr. H. Donald Messer, DRM representative at the WRC. In DX Listening Digest, Raul Saavedra in the tropical zone of Costa Rica replies, it's clear that hijacking the major international shortwave bands by the ITU wasn't enough. Now it's time for the tropical bands. This is a sad reality. Shortwave listeners are a thing of the past, at least for the ITU. DXers do not count for them. DRM is not the salvation of shortwave listening. On the other hand, KimAndrewElliott.com says reception of DRM often is problematic in long-distance circuits on the international bands above 5,900. The tropical bands are generally used for domestic or regional short-haul circuits. DRM will probably prove more reliable over such distances and on such frequencies. It could provide a poor man's FM for listeners in remote areas of some countries. Don Messer writes more about this in the latest NASB newsletter. This is the real regulatory triumph for us in the shortwave band use of DRM. This time, in modifying Resolution 517, we finally got to remove any mention of single sideband signals, something we could not get rid of at the WRC of 2003. With the stroke of the pen, we lowered the bands under consideration from 5,900 to 3,200 kilohertz, thereby including the tropical bands. This sailed right through the plenary session without any objection. It has enormous marketing potential since more than half the people in the world live in the tropical zone, roughly defined as between 30 degrees north and south latitudes. Well, the reason DX listeners are not too excited about this prospect is that we already have lots of extraneous noises to cope with when trying to hear stations on the 60-meter band especially. One of those being CODAR ocean wave radar. Roger Chambers in New York says the sweeper often seems to plague most of 60 meters. And there's even been interference reported from this, although they weren't sure what it was at first, as far away as southern Brazil. There was a thread discussing this in DX Listening Digest 7140 through 7143 available via worldofradio.org. Chuck Boland and Nick got in contact with the head of the company making the equipment, Dr. Donald E. Berrick of CODAR Ocean Sensors Limited in Mountain View, California. He says being sensitive and adapting to shortwave user feedback is one of the ways that we go to great lengths to minimize impact to other listeners. For example, about 6 years ago, a group of listeners on the East Coast complained, we clearly understood that systems are legal and would be operating somewhere, but we asked the group what frequency region they would prefer CODARs to stay out of. They responded above 4.8 megahertz. So for the most part, it's operating between 4.4 and 4.7. Well, I'm afraid we know this isn't true. All it takes is tuning around on the 60-meter band. You will hear CODAR above 4.8 and just below 5.0. Chuck Boland in Florida also called upon one of the operators of CODAR, Toby Garfield at San Francisco State University, to retune your transmitters to stay between 4.4 and 4.7 instead of 4.7 to 4.9 megahertz. Toby Garfield replied, "We are working very hard to find a solution that works both for radio operators and the coastal community. We are following FCC rules and trying very hard to be good airwave citizens." Jerry Linneman in Texas scanned the 60-meter band for CODAR intrusions and made a list of the exact frequency ranges where it appears. Of the 55 channels between 4750 and 5000, only 11 are not subject to CODAR. Here are the ranges where he found it: 4730 to 4765, 4780 to 4835, 4845 to 4875, 4905 to 4945, and 4965 to 4995. And just as an example of how CODAR can interfere with listening to shortwave broadcast stations, Roger Chambers in New York of the ODXA Yahoo group was trying to hear Radio Uganda on 4976 at 2105 UT, but he says it was generally worthless with severe CODAR interference. At the same time, these frequency ranges were generally worthless due to CODAR: 4775 to 4840, 4850 to 4920, 4960 to 5000 kilohertz. Brian Alexander in Pennsylvania on the same date was also trying to hear Uganda, but he says with CODAR interference. Oh, we should explain what CODAR stands for. As Ron Howard points out, it's Coastal Ocean Dynamics Application Radar. There have been complaints for some time, mainly from ham radio operators, about interference from a clicking noise believed to be over the horizon radar from China. Des Walsh also complained about this from somewhere in Europe in World DX Club Contact. He says it's worse between 7.3 and 9.5 megahertz, 12 to 15 megahertz, and strongest from 19 to 25 megahertz. So I've been looking for it deliberately, mainly in the morning hours here, when propagation from East Asia is most likely on the lower frequencies. And here are the frequency ranges where I've heard this clicking. Usually they're about 50 kilohertz wide, and they may shift around as time goes on. Around 1330 to 1430 UT. The first one I was hearing, however, was much wider. There may have been more than one overlapping. 5100 to 5235, and that, ironically, was overlapping with some CODAR starting at 5225. Another day it was 5195 to 5240, 6695 to 6740, 6895 to 6945, and 6945 to 6990. The day after that, indeed intruding on the 40-meter ham band at 7045 to 7090, others being heard around that time, 6610 to 6650, 5195 to 5240, 5355 to 5410, 5550 to 5590, and 11415 to 11435. As I was tuning up to that last frequency range, I ran across something quite interesting. Some extremely distorted FME blob centered about 10906 kilohertz, December 10th at 1420, seemed to be talking in a Western language, but I couldn't be sure whether it was English, Spanish, or something else. Could not find any parallels. A bit of music at 1430 and more talk later. Finally, I gave up. It was just too hard to listen to, and it was gone when I rechecked at 1504. It may have been a horribly mistuned transmitter, meaning it'll be difficult to locate it unless it happens again and someone has better luck than I did in monitoring what they were saying. Probably would help to have FM reception capability. In his column for the NASPA Journal, Kim Andrew Elliott says, "The announcement that the Morocco relay site of IBB would be closing was most shocking. I heard one rumor to that effect, but did not believe it. It's a Cold War stalwart with 10 500-kilowatt transmitters. But that might also explain its demise. Most of its single hops would land in Eastern Europe, where the pesky outbreak of freedom has greatly reduced the incentive to listen to shortwave. Morocco is also useful for reaching the Arab world, but the Arabs tend to watch satellite television. The third prong, Africa, still has plenty of shortwave listeners, but they may be thinking that Botswana and São Tomé will be sufficient. I don't know where sufficient transmitters for lease will be found. Keep in mind that the promise is to maintain broadcast hours, not specifically frequency hours. Broadcast hours could be fulfilled entirely via the Internet. As for Delano, California, I am told that it will remain for now in caretaker status. That's good. It will be needed in the future. However, Kai Ludwig replies, I assume this will eventually lead to the same end as for Greenville's A site. It had also been kept in caretaker status, staffed with two engineers, after transmission ceased in the fall of 2005. But as of last February, the site is now officially shut down, and transmitters are being cannibalized for spare parts. So I tend to believe a later reactivation of Delano is really unlikely and would be just too expensive, even in the case of urgent need. Some U.S. shortwave stations have been monitored putting out spurious frequencies. Wolfgang Büchner in Germany found WEWN 5810, accompanied by spurs on 5801.6 and 5818.4. Between midnight and 08 UT, they were on slightly different frequencies the following day. At 06:15, December 7th, Brian Alexander in Pennsylvania measured them on 5801.66 and 5818.35. It's also a mixing product of 5850 leapfrogging over 5810 to land on 5770 around 0700. At 02:35, he found spurs from WWCR 3215 on 3199.48 and 3230.52. Also reported around those frequencies by Jim Ronda in Oklahoma at 0400. Indicative of near solstice conditions, Carlos Gonçalves in Portugal was hearing WWCR 5070 almost until local noon, fading out at 11:55 UT December 1st. Since the end of November, one of our affiliates, KAIJ, has been missing from both its frequencies, 5755 at night and 9480 in the daytime. George McClintock says that according to the owner, 2FYC President Mike Parker, there was a surge of some kind down the power line which melted wiring in the circuit, so the site has been without power and there are delays in getting that repaired. It is believed that the transmitter, which had surge protection, was not damaged. However, we've heard from someone who insists on remaining anonymous and says he has visited the site that indeed there is no power at the KAIJ site, despite the caretakers still living in the facility, and disputes the reason for the outage. WWRB in Tennessee has been heard on its second harmonic, 6370, 2x3185, says Harold Froge in Michigan, in the Mayor tip sheet. This was at 0314 UT. He checked the third harmonic but did not hear it. In case that also comes through, it's 9555. Since WIFR moved to 6915 into pirate territory, it has provoked their ire. In the Mayor tip sheet, we have several reports of pirates parroting WIFR on or around that frequency, mainly on 6925. Harold Froge heard something called the Trucker's Tabernacle, outreach to truck drivers, longshoremen, and all-night waitresses everywhere, and a commercial for a glow-in-the-dark plastic Jesus. This was at 2005 UT, December 1st. In Free Radio Weekly, Mark Schiefelbein in Missouri reports that the KIPM programming, maybe someone else relaying them, was actually co-channeled with WIFR on 6915 USB, December 5th at 2017. Al Wiener says that the new concept program Area 51 will begin airing on WBCQ 5110 December 21st. It'll be 7 days a week from 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern, 22 to midnight UT. An eclectic mix of classic WBCQ original programming, new pirate-produced programs, and a very entertaining and freestyle mix of all kinds of stuff, including once a week World of Radio at an additional time, as yet to be confirmed. You're tuned for World of Radio number 1386. Our address, P. P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702, USA. Our thanks this week for financial support via PayPal to WORADIO at yahoo.com. Go to Aaron Butler. Three special medium wave DX tests on three different nights are scheduled for the middle weekend in December. Early Saturday, December 15th, from 09 to 10 UT, or 1 to 2 a.m. Pacific Time, KLAA 830 in Anaheim, California, running 20 kilowatts on its nighttime pattern. Then early Sunday morning, December 16th, from 08 to 9 UT, midnight to 1 a.m. Pacific, KQMS 1400 in Redding, California, using 1,000 watts, non-directional. And a late edition on short notice, early Monday morning, December 17th, from 07 to 10 UT, note the correct time, or midnight to 3 a.m. Mountain, KEVT 1210 in Sahuarita near Tucson, Arizona. 10 kilowatts, non-directional. More details about the content of the tests and how to report are at www.dxtests.info. The new Metropolitan Opera broadcast season is underway. The normal start time is 18:30 UT Saturdays, although it may be half an hour or even an hour earlier, depending on the length of the opera. If you find listening to the Met inconvenient on Saturday afternoons, in DX Listening Digest 7149, I have some tips about other times you may be able to hear it, although it's supposed to be live everywhere. It's also on CBC Radio 2, and they do delay it 1, 2, and 3 hours, depending on the time zone. You can hear those via webcast. If you'd rather listen on Sunday afternoon, KRNN in Alaska includes operas on Sunday instead of Saturday afternoon, and delayed 1 week and 1 day. It's also on Radio Cultura FM in São Paulo, Brazil. There have been several reports of an X-band station in Wisconsin, WKSH, carrying Radio Disney, being considerably off frequency from 1640 on the high side. The most precise measurement comes from Bruce Conti in New Hampshire in NRC DX News, 1640.113 kHz, when heard at 21 UT December 6th. Like WWCR nearby, Carlos Gonçalves in Portugal was hearing Radio Rebel de Cuba 5025 very late until fade out 1145 UT December 1st. The same station also has some excellent music. In the NASA Journal's Easy Listening column by Richard Cuff, Bill Tilford says, Toda Musica is now scheduled on 5025 Friday evenings, UT Saturdays, from 0330 to 0800. He and I also recommend another excellent music show, Hecho en Cuba, Made in Cuba. It's Monday through Friday at 1730 to 18 on five frequencies, actually, I've confirmed. Best here on 17735 and 15370, colliding with WIFR on 17555, also on 11655, mixing with Madagascar, and 15570. Venezuela has finally made its repeatedly postponed switch to a different time zone, one they had back in the 60s, UT minus 4.5 hours instead of just minus 4. According to reports from Venezuela by Alan Gonzalez and Henry Gonzalez. This will make it easy to identify Venezuelan stations, especially on medium wave, since their time checks will be half an hour off from the rest of the Western Hemisphere. Well, except Newfoundland, in which case they'll be 1 hour off. Although I do not have DRM capability, I can certainly recognize the DRM noise when I hear it. There's been a strong signal lately around 14 to 16 UT and beyond, centered on 15795. That's registered as Issoudun in France, but since the French Guiana DRM test has disappeared from 17875, I figured it's probably coming from there. And indeed, that's been confirmed on the DRM North America list by a number of monitors. They have been relaying RFO in French Guiana toward the Caribbean, but also putting a good signal into North America. In IRCA, Mark DeLorenzo on the Massachusetts coast says one of my favorites is 189 kilohertz Iceland because of its extreme northern latitude and eclectic programming. I've been listening to it midnight 9 UT, a good level with news in Icelandic, and a variety of songs. Also heard at 10:52 UT December 5th, and as late as 10:57 on December 6th, and as early as 21:57 on the same day. This time of year, there's a gray line between Iceland and the East Coast as late as 11:15 UT. It's fascinating to hear a long-wave transatlantic at that very late hour. Well, at least it is semi-transatlantic. Some bad news from Drita Chicho of the Monitoring Department of Radio Tirana, Albania. She says she heard from the English translator, Clara, that the European Broadcasting Union director has suggested to the director of Radio Tirana that they close the shortwave service and just be on internet instead. Apparently this is being considered. Although it would be nice if Radio Tirana were webcasting in addition, we think it's far too soon to give up on shortwave and thus lose most of its audience. Now's the time to let them know you are listening and doing it on shortwave. István Kish in Hungary tells us that the Hungarian broadcast from International Radio Serbia on 7240 was last heard at the end of October, but now according to their website, they are on Eutelsat 2 as of December 10th. And Dragan Lekic in Serbia says, according to their website, they've resumed using the 250-kilowatt transmitter in Bijeljina, Bosnia, but it's not true. They originally planned to do so on December 1st, but now they say it will probably be reactivated on December 15th. Thanks to solstitial conditions, I've been enjoying adequate reception of Polish Radio External Service in English via Germany between 13 and 14 UT on 9450. Give it a try if you're in North America, although it's intended for Europe. On a Monday, I noted around the middle of the program, they had a feature on Polish classical music. Radio 6 International, Glasgow, Scotland, has resumed transmissions via WBCQ as of December 9th, Sundays from 23 to midnight UT on 7415. Bjorn Fransson in Sweden was surprised to hear a broadcast station way out of band on 8345, December 6th at 1510. The programming turned out to match Amsterdam Forum on Radio Netherlands. And since that frequency is one digit off from one of their scheduled frequencies at that time, the Uzbekistan relay, I figured that's what happened. They punched up the wrong frequency in Tashkent. Who knows if it'll ever happen again, but if you don't hear them on 9345 between 14 and 16, try 8345. Since December 9th, Wolfgang Guschel, Noel Green, Eric Kuya, Jose Miguel Romero, and I have been hearing continuous Middle Eastern music on 15150. The span appears to be from 13 until 2000 UT. Never any announcements or IDs, but we suspect it's originating from Libya, testing a third transmitter. Or it could be something else. Eric Kuya says it might be Iran. In any event, it merits further monitoring. A reminder that Radio St. Helena Day is Saturday, December 15th, 1730 UT until 01 UT on the 16th, 11092.5 upper sideband. Every hour or so, they'll be changing the beam to favor different target areas in the world. All the details are at www.sthelena.se/radioproject. Dan Sheedy and Ron Howard in California and Mike Barraclough in England have been monitoring the new transmitter of CVC in Zambia. It appears to be in regular service now. The tentative schedule is 05 to 06 on 9430, 06 to 14 on 13590, and 14 to 21 also on 13590, although they earlier tested on the alternate frequency 13650 between 14 and 17. As we expected, the recently changed frequency of the Tensai Ethiopia Voice of Unity clandestine, 11900, has been hit by jamming. Jose Miguel Romero in Spain was hearing that at 1500 UT, December 5th, although it sounded a lot like DRM. On December 10th at 1525, I could also hear white noise jamming mixing with talk in presumed Amharic. Wolfgang Büschel says the transmitter site may have changed from Armavir, Russia to Meyerton, South Africa, but the very annoying motorboat-type jamming covered all the way from 11883 to 11911. Brian Alexander, Pennsylvania, found yet another new frequency from Ethiopia, Voice of Tigray Revolution, 5950, signing on at 0356 and parallel to 5980. The Lithuanian relay of Iran keeps changing frequencies above 6.2 megahertz. Jose Miguel Romero in Spain heard the English broadcast at 1930 on December 9th on 6265 instead of the announced 6225. On December 10th and 11th, Wolfgang Büschel in Germany found Radio Sol via the UK to Afghanistan on an additional frequency, 13830, at least between 12 and 14 UT, parallel to the usual 15265. I suppose they may be contemplating a change. We have several reports of Tajik radio on 4635. Scott Barber in New Hampshire says very favorable conditions. Hopefully the trend continues around 0100 UT with Pashto Dari-like vocal music. Also heard by Terry Kruger in Florida around 0300 UT with very nice local vocals and instrumentals. In ABDX, Murray Lykon near Tokyo, Japan, heard very good audio in an Indian-sounding traditional music at 1202 UT. Arnaldo Slide in Argentina was listening at 2310 with some very nice local songs, prompting Moises Knokin in Uruguay to say, Tajikistan is one of my favorites, although I've seldom heard it. Central Asian music makes my imagination fly. Also, they have a very distinct style of speaking, and they like to use reverb. Ron Howard in California has been hearing Radio Rossi via Petropavlovsk-Kamchatka on 6075. Not only around 0500 UT, but at 1146 and as late as, get this, 1834. DXing the Finnish Way blog quotes www.burmanet.org that there's a new shortwave station in Myanmar, according to the Xinhua News Agency. It's Padauk Myai Radio, PADAUKMYAY, from an unidentified location since the end of October, believed to be inside the country. On the air from 2300 to 1330 UT, no frequency mentioned. S. Aoki and S. Hasegawa of the Nagoya DX Circle report about North Korean clandestines. According to NEABI, North Korea Reform Radio is a new one, testing December 12th and 13th at 12 to 1230 UT on 9630, regular broadcast to begin on December 17th. Also, Radio Free North Korea has an additional broadcast on 7510 since December 7th at 20 to 2030, believed to be via Novosibirsk, Russia. If you can no longer hear Radio Australia on 9580 in our mornings, try 6020 or 7240 before and after 14 UT. Propagation outlook from Boulder issued December 11th. ANK indices peaking at 20 and 5 December 17th, down to 5 and 2 starting on the 24th. Solar flux dropping from 85 December 12th to 70 December 19th to 22nd, back up to 85 by January 4th. Glenn Hauser concluding World of Radio 1386.